Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Those huge street protests in Iran over the death of a woman in police custody last week have continued to intensify, as they spread to dozens of cities. Videos posted to social media show protesters chanting, "I'll kill the one who killed my sister," and "death to the dictator," women cutting their hair off. Iran has deployed multiple security forces to stop the protests. Human rights groups have reported several deaths from the unrest. Nagar Mortazavi is an Iranian-American journalist and analyst of Iranian politics and foreign policy. She's in Washington, D.C. And Nagar, you know, this is about the death of the 22-year-old Mahsa Amini. We've seen grainy video of her on some security camera collapsing in some sort of holding room. Who is she? How did she get there?
Yes, Robin. So what we know is that she was a 22-year-old woman, Kurdish woman, originally from the Kurdish area in western Iran, who was visiting Tehran with her family. And riding the metro, when she gets off, she is stopped by this morality police, or as they're literally called, the guidance police, to be guided for how she was dressed, and then eventually detained, arrested by them, and taken to the detention center where women and some men are taken for further guidance. And then she dies in police custody. The video is not very clear because it's edited, it's cut, it's not continuous. We don't see the entire process of what happened to her. And her family was saying that she's a young woman, she was healthy, she didn't have underlying conditions. The state is trying to defy responsibility, saying she suddenly collapsed. But I think what's important here in the fact is that she died in police custody. Yeah. So the responsibility for her well-being and her life lies with them.
Well, but tell us more about these morality police, guidance police. It's chilling. I mean, it's Handmaid's Tale. And in the video, she appears to be covered. Her hair appears to be covered. What is it that they do?
Exactly. So the morality police, or the guidance police, is part of the largest police force. They have the same authority as regular police to arrest people. Well, it's initially they're supposed to guide people as to how they're supposed to be dressed and behave, which also turns to be very subjective. It's not a very clear mandate. It's not very clear for people how they stop, who they pick on. And that's what we're also hearing from many religious Iranians, essentially asking what exactly was wrong with her dress, with her appearance, that led to her arrest and eventually her death. So the morality police is now, by many Iranians, seen as a form of violent harassment against Iranians in the public. And what I find significant and incredible is that now we have religious Iranians calling for the abolishing of this police and saying, don't do this in the name of our religion, our beliefs. We are religious. Some hijabi women online were saying, I am hijabi, but I oppose the morality police.
Well, you know, but these kind of heart-lifting uprisings against the tyrannical regime in Iran have historically not ended well, at least in recent history. There was the 2009 Green Movement. In 2019, there were protests over fuel prices, democracy, calls for an overthrow of the government. There was a crackdown. Many died. Internet blackouts then. You know, at that time, too, and, you know, both times, there was sort of a, why didn't someone come to help us and support us? But what is the government, you know, trying to do now, and is it seen as not working?
Well, you know, the government or the state also reacts to these protests with a lot of violence and force. In 2009, as you mentioned, that was the largest protest since the 1979 revolution. Millions of Iranians took to the streets and they stayed for about a year. And the state used a lot of violence, security forces, to crack down on the protests. Again, in 2019, when the hike in fuel prices sparked a lot of protests nationwide, the state literally used an iron fist. Hundreds of protesters were killed on the street. Thousands were arrested. And they cracked down. This time around also, we're seeing security forces using a lot of violence, force. There's already reports of a number of protesters being killed on the street. Unfortunately, I expect it to be higher, and we're going to see more violence. There's also reports of internet shutdowns, limiting of social media use, which would limit not only protesters coordinating and connecting with each other, but also that connection to the outside world, sending out images, evidence. And unfortunately, it's a sign of more crackdown and repression to come.
Well, and we should mention, too, that many female journalists such as yourself, even there in D.C., are facing, you know, threats online in your case, threats of abuse. It's tough.
It's very much, unfortunately, it is. And especially when you're doing objective reporting, as you also know the job, and trying to bring nuance, fair and objective and nuanced views to the issue. The attacks sometimes come from all corners. It's just making our life and our job so much more difficult. But, you know, I still believe in what I do, and I try to do it for the women who are standing up in Iran so courageously.
Well, I have to say, out of respect for you, I do not know what it's like to be an Iranian journalist. So thank you so much, Iranian-American journalist Nigar Mortazavi, for speaking with us.
Thanks for having me.